are in a season that we have called Summer Vival. And you know, Summer Vival is just kind of a cute coin for the term revival. And in the first service, it just completely went a different way than I intended it for to go, but I believe it went the way of the Spirit. And so today, I want to talk to you a little while on how to have a revival in your life. I am praying for a revival in my life. Yeah. Somebody says, you're a preacher. Preachers need revival. Amen. Amen? Yeah. None of us have arrived, and none of us will ever arrive. And we do not want to settle for the status quo here at Heart of the Bay Christian Center. 30 years have passed since Brenda and I started pastoring. By the grace of God, we'll make it another 25. But I purpose in my heart these next 20 to 25 years that I'm going to live a life on fire for Him. And that we are going to lead this congregation in the ways of the Word, in the ways of the Spirit, and in the ways of the move of revival. And that each and every person that comes here will open up their hearts and say, Lord, revive me in the midst of my years. Lord, bring a revival into my life. You see, we have a strong emphasis on evangelism here. And evangelism is awesome. It is where people get born again. But evangelism is for the sinner, whereas revival is for the saints. When we think in terms of, well, so-and-so is going to come and hold a revival meeting, that's not really what revival is. They might be holding an evangelistic meeting, or a revived preacher might come in and stir the saints up for revival. But revival happens in each and every one of our hearts. Revival is something that is the will and the plan of God for you and for me. I sort of stumbled on the definition earlier, and I'll not do it again. I've actually looked it up. The word revival, everyone say revival. The prefix re in the English language means to do again. The root word vive is from the Latin word for life. To have a revival means to bring to life again. How many of you know you can't bring those to life again who've not been alive before? To be revived, you must have been alive once before. Revival isn't for the lost. It will affect the lost. But revival is for you. And revival is for me. And when I get revived and stay revived, and you get revived and stay revived, the lost will come by the thousands. Why? Because this newness of life, this life that is breathed back into our lives, will go outside of these walls into the community, and people will see the change that God has worked in you, and they'll be drawn to Jesus Christ in you.
Amen.
Revival. Revival. Some of the characteristics of revival. If there's going to be a revival in my life and in your life and in this church, where it goes beyond a cute little slogan of some revival into ongoing revival, bringing an awakening to a community, there are some very important ingredients that are absolutely necessary to see it happen. One characteristic, and we won't go into it in depth, One characteristic of revival is a person who has a spirit of prayer. To esoprefedishta vasongredishta pando labastata, where prayer no longer is a duty, but prayer is a joy, and prayer can hardly wait. You can hardly wait to pray. Well, I put in my 15 minutes. That's not revival.
No.
Revival is getting lost in the spirit. Revival is not being conscious of time. It's being conscious of Him. And it doesn't matter whether it's a minute or an hour. The key is He's there. A spirit of prayer. Now, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, if you would. One other characteristic of revival is the conviction of sin. The conviction of sin. And God never convicts people of sin if He wasn't ever standing by to show mercy in the midst of that conviction. Conviction of sin is never designed to draw you away from God. Conviction of sin is designed to draw you toward God, away from sin, and toward Him. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, and we're going to work on the scripture for a while today. So He says, so repent. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around and turn and return toward God. Everyone say, revive.
Revive.
Repent.
Repent.
Return.
Return.
So if a person needs to return, it means that somewhere along the line, they've made some wrong turns.
Yes. Yeah.
And those wrong turns haven't drawn them toward God. Those wrong turns have drawn them away from God. Therefore, God says, repent and return.
Amen. Yeah.
I believe God is calling us as a church and as a people to return to God with our whole heart. I believe that He's calling this nation to return to God with their whole heart. You cannot exclude God from the schools. You cannot kill millions of babies and not need to repent and to return. Come on, somebody, help me along. And that's true nationally, but it's also true individually. He says, turn around and return to God. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not designed to make you feel bad so that you wallow around in the mully grubs and feel guilty for 3 years before you get a release. But repentance is designed by the Holy Spirit to cause you to turn away from the sin, get your forgiveness, and then run to, return to God with all your heart. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's for our benefit. It's for your benefit to walk in holiness. There's too many depressed Christians around. There's too many Christians drinking from the pool of this world. No wonder they're depressed. Turn around and return to God. Now notice this. Glory to God. So that your sins may be erased, blotted out, and wiped clean. Oh, glory. It's an awesome day when your debts are canceled. Just work with me just a moment. You know, whether you went through Dave Ramsey or whether you got supernatural debt cancellation, it's nice not having to pay $300-$400 a month on a credit card. It's been wiped clean. It's been erased. It's over with. It's gone. And you talk about an awesome day when God restores unto you the joy of your salvation. Man, there ain't nothing like it. Waking up in the morning with a smile on your face, declaring, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice, man. I'll be glad in it. Your sins may be erased, blotted out, and wiped clean. Now, here's another key ingredient, along with the purification process, along with the repentance process, and along with the Come on, somebody. The spirit of prayer. Here's another ingredient of revival. It's times of refreshing. Ooh, glory. It's times of refreshing. But notice the qualifier to tap into the times of refreshing is get rid of the junk first. So that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air. Oh, let it come from the presence of the Lord. Let it so permeate our individual lives. Let the presence of God so permeate our homes, our church, our city, and our state that it's an undeniable fact. There must be a God that's alive in the earth today. Notice what this refreshing will do in my life and your life is that when we go through fiery tests and fiery trials, and all of us will, and all of us have. But he's saying that when there's revival occurring in your life, the refreshing presence of the Lord will enable you to recover quickly. Too many Christians are walking around depressed. Listen, when the guests of the church are more impressed with what's happening in the church and the saints are depressed, we need revival. Come on. There's too many Christians talking about their tests and their trials and their tests and trials. What I'm saying to you is this, is revival and the presence of God will enable you to go to the other side of the lake to where you make it through in victory. Notice with me this verse again. The times of refreshing, recovering from the effects of heat, and reviving with fresh air. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? Does it come from Dr. Phil? How about Dr. Oz? I feel so refreshed. I took my CoQ10 and I didn't forget a thing. But I did forget my ginkgo biloba. You better double up. Too much glory is given to diets. Too much emphasis and glory is given to our trainers and our exercise. These times of refreshing don't come from the winds of the world. These times of refreshing come from the winds of the Holy Spirit. They come from the presence of the Lord. And I'm not knocking this, and by no means would I ever put anything down, because I believe in being purpose-driven. I believe it with all my heart. I believe every one of us have been given a purpose from God. And we need to allow the purpose in our life to drive us into the things that God wants to do us. But I want to take it a step further for us. I believe that we need to be presence-driven. That everything that we do in our lives ought to have the presence of God on it. You know, if the presence of God is not on this preaching, let's go home. If the presence of God is not involved in our daily lives, let's make some changes. Let's turn this thing around. Let's return to God. And so he says that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. It won't come from fake fire. It won't come from some witty personality type in the pulpit. Come on.
Amen.
What we need, friends, is the presence of God.
Amen.
When a person needs healing, they need to be restored in their body. They don't need a cute 3 points in a poem and send you home after a time of kumbaya. We must have the presence. Friends, what we experienced during worship there today, that was a time of refreshing. It came from the presence of the Lord. Now turn with me to Psalm 16. Here's another real major key ingredient to revival. And this will be an earmark of what happens in our lives, along with soul winning, along with the spirit of prayer, along with conviction and turning away from sin and turning our lives wholly over to God. There will be joy happening in the presence of God. Come on. You know, recently, Brent and I were in Wisconsin. My mother went home to be with the Lord in December. Many of you know that. She was 97 years old. And my dad grew up in Wisconsin, and I grew up in Minneapolis. And so my dad is buried there, and my brother's buried there, and we buried my mom there a couple weeks ago. But we were in a church, and we were doing the service, and I was a participant. But I just couldn't help but notice there just wasn't a lot of joy in there. There wasn't a lot of life in there. And I know that a funeral service, you don't run the aisles and, you know, normally. You know, sometimes you do. I've been in them that you run and you shout. But there was just no life. And yet I was around the same people, about 20, 25 cousins for a few days. You talk about laughter out on the pontoon. You talk about, you know, having a good time, but in church. Are you connecting with that? Now, that is not an indictment against the kind of church I grew up in, but it is an indictment against a spirit of religion. Religion crushes your relationship with Jesus, but Christianity causes it to bloom and spring forth and to have a joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And here's what will happen. You see, the holiest are the happiest, the most sanctified are the most satisfied. And those who have revival will enjoy the presence of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord will be their strength.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 16, verse 11. Read it with me. Ready? Read. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of what?
Joy.
Fullness of what?
Joy.
Fullness of what?
Joy.
Fullness of what?
Joy.
Woo, glory. You talk about extremes in revival. On one hand, there's going to be such conviction of sin. You mark my words, in the days ahead, such conviction of sin that they'll be weeping and they'll be just absolute, almost seem like they're agonizing. But once they get their breakthrough, they'll go from that point to the joy of the Lord. And you know, when people get happy, watch out. They may run, they may shout. You don't know what they might do. But when you're in revival, you just want what God wants.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Notice this with me again. Not him, this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are what? Pastor Mark, don't talk about pleasure in church. Well, I'm reading the word. Not sinful pleasure, but godly pleasure. There's a huge difference between the world's pleasure and God's pleasure. God's kind of pleasure is a pleasure that is giving, that is loving, and that causes you to enjoy life to its full. He says, in His presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now turn with me to Job 36, verse 11. See, I think that there's too much in Charismaticville, if you will. People wanting the pleasure, people wanting the prosperity, people wanting the joy without authenticity of commitment. Oh yes, I said authenticity. Yes, I said it. That God wants us to be authentically in love with Him. Not in love with things. But authentically committed to Him and to His cause. Now notice with me in Job 36 verse 11. Notice that first word, everyone say if. Now what does the word if mean? Does not the word if mean conditional upon something? You notice in the Word of God that the word if is used over and over and over again. For example, Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My word abides in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Right? Okay. Notice in verse 36, He says, if they obey Me and serve Me, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Now, you can't get rid of half of the verse and have the verse. You can't get rid of obedience and service and be committed and being committed and have prosperity and have pleasures. But if you will be a Christian who is wholly devoted, wholly committed, wholly sold in, where God has got all of your heart and not just a couple rooms in your heart, then God says, you'll spend your days in prosperity. And you will spend your years in pleasure. It gives you, your Father, great pleasure to give you the kingdom. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we are and were created for His pleasure. Years ago, I did a sermon called The Father's Pleasure. It gives the Father great pleasure to prosper His sons and His daughters. The Scripture says, at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Listen, friends, that is a result of revival in your life. Prosperity and pleasure. It is a byproduct of revival. It is not the purpose of revival, but it will occur in your life if you'll be devoted to Him. Turn to me to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, everyone say if.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 says this. And it'll come to pass, if, there's that word again. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments. That sounds like commitment. Which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If, there's that word again. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Dear brothers and dear sisters, don't dismiss the ifs in the Word. Don't dismiss the ifs. Because the ifs, if acted upon, will take you right where you want to be. Notice with me, He says, these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. You won't have to hunt down the blessing. The blessing will hunt you down. Notice with me in verse 3. And all these blessings, He said, blessed or empowered to prosper shall you be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 4, Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when you come in, and blessed shalt thou be when they'll go out. Listen, he says, if you will get serious about having revival in your life, that you will be blessed above all peoples of the earth. You will be blessed to the degree that you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not be beneath. Amen. Now here is another absolute important ingredient of revival. And that is this. Also, there will be restoration. Everyone say restore.
Restore.
Say restore three times real strong. One more time, everyone. Restore. 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 Revive. Repent. Return. I looked up the word restore in between services. It says this, to bring back to a former or an original or a normal condition. The doctor comes along and says, well, something abnormal is going on in your body. Well, God can restore your health unto you and bring that which is abnormal back to its normal condition. That'll happen in revival. I'll tell you what else will happen in revival. People with great mental distress in their lives. People that have been depressed and just absolutely so burdened by the cares of this life, that when they get in the presence of the Lord and true revival comes from His Spirit, He will restore people's soul. In Psalm 23, in verse 3, it speaks of Jesus and it says, He restores my soul. To restore means to bring back to a state of health. To bring back to a state of soundness. To bring back to a sense of vigor. Have you lost some vim? Have you lost some vigor? Have you lost some vitality? Well, I've got the mineral drink for you. No. Nothing wrong with mineral drinks. Nothing wrong with taking vitamins. But true vim, true vigor, true life comes from a soul that's been revived. That's what restoration is. He says, to bring back to a state of health, of soundness or vigor, and I love this, to give back, to restore, to give back, to return, or to make restitution. I love that. You see, when true revival is happening, there will be restoration. Joel said it like this. He said, things have been rough and things have been tough, but when the power of God comes into your life, I'm going to restore unto you the years that the enemy has stolen. Is that good news or is that good news?
Amen.
Jeremiah 37:17 says, I will restore health unto you. Now here's what can happen. When you get revived and stay revived, and I get revived and stay revived, what we've got is revival. And this revival can impact a community to where all of a sudden there happens an awakening. And here's what can happen right here in the Bay Area. I've heard this lie for so many years. You can't have revival in the Bay Area. Well, you just hide and watch. You can't have a strong church in the Bay Area. Look what the Lord has done. I said, look what the Lord has done. Anybody, anytime anybody says you can't, I immediately think of I can. You can you? Yeah, I can. Now, I can't do it apart from the vine, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so can you. Don't listen to the people from the outside telling you what you can't do when on the inside God has placed success in your life. I heard a preacher preach years ago, I can't improve on it. I'll say it again. Success comes in cans. Say it with me real strong. I can. Do all things which strengthens me. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. Everyone say revival. Revival. Revival is a choice. It's a choice. I choose to be revived. I choose to put myself in a position to be revived. I choose to be corrected by the Holy Spirit. I choose to be open-hearted in my life for Him to reveal areas of my life that don't please Him. See, you can't be full of pride and be revived. You can't be a rebel and have revival. You can't. But oh, if you'll be just like David was. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. David sinned. David missed it. But you know what David did? David repented. And David ran to the rock that was higher than him. And God restored unto David the joy of his salvation and restored an intimacy with the Holy Spirit in his life. Isaiah 58. And I believe that this San Francisco Bay Area absolutely is in God's heart. I believe it. I mean, from San Francisco to Richmond to Las Guerras to Pleasanton to Antioch to Pittsburgh to San Jose. All throughout the whole area of San Francisco, including the Castro District. All through East and West Oakland, including the crack houses. Including Broadway, where women sell their bodies. Including the offices of wealthy, crooked businessmen. I believe God has got His eyes on the Bay Area.
Amen.
I believe that God has His eyes on the crack addict. That God has His eyes on the prostitute. That God has His eyes upon the homeless. I believe that my God is waiting for a church to shake off the dullness of religion in the whole area. And say, oh God, revive us. Revive us. No sense of us pointing our bony little religious fingers at what's going on in the world. What's going on in our lives? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time. You cannot have revival in your life if there's a spirit of compromise in your life. Oh, Jesus. But I can sense the Holy Spirit hovering over the Bay Area. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him, for those hearts who are loyal to Him. If anybody ought to be loyal, it ought to be us. Amen. To whom much is given, much is required. And this is not a message to condemn, but this is a message to stir you up.
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit.
And to know that there is something greater that God wants to do than we have seen up to this point. We've seen sprinklings. We've seen some here and some there. But it is nothing in comparison to the lather and the former rain that comes together. In this day and this hour. And you know what? I don't want to be a bystander. As long as I have breath as a senior pastor of this church, I'm going to preach revival.
Amen.
I'm going to contend for it in my life. And in the life of this church. Because here's what happens, saints. Something undeniable. Something way beyond our natural thinking. You see, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it is in direct proportion to the power of God that's at work in us. And so if His power is going to be at work in us, we better be right with Him. We've got to be right. We got to be right. Look at your neighbor and say, get right, will you? Hallelujah. The holiest are the happiest. The most sanctified are the most satisfied. And so, let's envision, shall we? Let's indulge ourselves. A revived church.
Yes, amen.
Let's envision revival in my life, in your life, and in the lives of the people of this church. Let's envision that. Oh God. I'm not sure what it looks like because I've never seen it. In 35 years of ministry, I've never seen a church in revival. Oh, but you've had great meetings. You've had Brother Hagin. You've had that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where the people are waiting in line to get a front row seat. I'm talking where people actually come to prayer meetings. You know you need a revival when? You call a prayer meeting of a church of 1,020 people show up. You know you need a revival. You know you need a revival when? The pastor has to eat goldfish and promise him that he will eat goldfish if they break the Sunday school record. You know you need a revival. You know you need a revival when the guests come up and say, "Whoa, what a word! I have been changed by God's power!" And the saints walk out with their head down saying, "Brother, why don't you stick with preaching on prosperity? I don't like that revival stuff. Come on, Ethel, we're going down the street." You know you need a revival. Huh? You know you need a revival when? The people are standing there like this, looking like an uptight deacon at the back doors during praise and worship. You know you need a revival. Can someone just help the preacher just a little bit? Woo, Jesus. Everyone shout, Jesus.
Jesus.
Give us revival.
Jesus,
revive me.
Revive my church.
in the midst of its years. You know you need a revival. I mean, you were baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1982 and you haven't spoken tongues since then. But let's indulge ourselves a little while. What if, just what if, we could have a revived church? Takes more than eloquent preaching. Did you know that when revival hit in the Welsh revival and in Finney's revival and in Whitfield's revival, there was very little preaching? Because the preacher would stand up and people would just scream and cry out to God for mercy. Such a conviction of sin. Jesus. You know you need a revival when you have to pump smoke into the church through some sort of smoke machine in the name of having the glory of God. You just flat need a revival. You know you need a revival when the preacher goes out and drinks wine with other preachers after church. You know, come on now. You know you need a revival when your brand of cigarettes is the same as the people at the bar. Shall we just indulge ourselves? Let's believe God. Let's believe God. It's good to throw some humor in there. But you know, the Bible says that David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would have left the Bay Area a long time ago. I'd have moved to Africa where real revival is. See, sometimes I just have to go to other nations because I've got to see what it looks like. Sometimes I got to get on a jet and go to Abuja and go to Lagos. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going. Because I got to see it. I got to taste it. I got to feel it. Who will join me? Who will join me in a spirit of prayer? Who will join me in praying for revival in their individual lives? Who will just flat repent when they need to repent and not make such a bless God big deal out of it? Amen. Just admit it and quit it. Whoso confesses his sin and forsakes it, him shall prosper. But here's what I'm seeing and what I'm hoping for before Jesus takes me home or before the rapture happens. I'm hoping for the glory of God to revive you and revive me and to bring an awakening into this area and an awakening into a God-forsaken government and nation. Here's what can happen. Here's what can happen. And here's what I believe will happen. Isaiah 58:12.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
And they that be of thee, that's us. Yeah. That's the revived church. Yeah. That's people with a spirit of prayer. Those are soul winners. And they that be of thee shall build up the old waste places. Think of it. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. A revived soul can have an impact on a community. It can have an impact on a home, a family, in-laws and outlaws. Now notice this. And thou shalt be called the repair. What's something that needs repaired, needs fixing? The Bay Area needs fixing. It needs more than fixing. It needs some deliverance. The repair of the breach. Read the rest with me. The restore of paths to dwell in. Literally, paths there is the restore of streets to dwell in. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray out of your spirit right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be revival in our souls. Let there be revival in our church. Let there be restoration in the Bay Area. Let the streets that have been ravaged by drug addiction, homosexuality, all of the things from the dark side, let there be restoration and deliverance, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we invite the convictor to convict us of sin. And we say, when you call it, Lord, we'll repent. When you show it, we'll stop it. And when you say go, we'll go. And when you say speak, we will speak. And when you say pray, we will pray. Say with me, Lord Jesus, in this time that we have today, I purpose in my heart and invite the spirit of revival to come into my life. Lord, forgive me. I repent of anything and everything that has stood in your way. And this day, I turn the whole of my life, my entire being, spirit, soul, and body, completely over to you. Say it with me. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service. Lord Jesus, you said in your word that the times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. I invite you to saturate me, to fill me afresh and anew with the presence of your Spirit. Restore unto me the joy that I've lost. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Thank you, Lord, that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And as a church, we purpose in our heart to answer the call in these next years for revival. And we ask you, sir, for rain in the time of the latter rain. May the latter rain and the former rain come together in a cloud of glory. And we pray for an awakening in the Bay Area and in this nation. And may we as a church be called the repair of the breach and the restore of streets to dwell in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.